Anthony.
Thank you. Cheers. My name's Anthony, an addict.
Hi, Anthony.
I wasn't expecting to share until now. I literally got asked about 10 minutes ago, so I don't know what I'm going to share, but in my experience, that's always probably better, because when I start thinking about what I'm going to share, I start trying to impress people and probably start telling lies, telling me stuff that I've done that I haven't done just to impress and stuff like that. So, yeah, but just kind of sat thinking a little bit about what I'm going to share. And today, you know, I sit kind of here ready to share, knowing that I've actually got a good little message of recovery, you know, as a result of Narcotics Anonymous and doing what I've needed to have done over the previous years, over the last few years. I've got, you know, I've got loads of faith. I've got a massive belief that everything's going to be all right as long as I keep doing this stuff, you know. I've got like a little voice in my head that no matter what situation happens, a little voice that just says everything will be all right, you know, and I've never had that from as early as I can remember. I can remember being a little kid and being happy and running about and stuff like that, but for as long as I kind of started to really engage with the world properly, you know, with people, relationships, all that, I always had this fear that I was less than, that I was going to get found out, that people wouldn't like me, you know, so, and I don't have that as much as what I had growing up and throughout my addiction anymore, you know, as a result of doing Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I kind of share a little bit about my using, but we kind of all know what that's about. That's why we're here, do you know what I mean? Like, I used to a point of having absolutely nothing in my life, no relationships, no friendships whatsoever. My family, I wouldn't say they disowned me, but they didn't trust me, they didn't want me around, you know, like, when they weren't around, so always somebody had to be in the house. If I was there, you know, if anyone was leaving the house, I had to leave with them. My sisters didn't trust me around my nieces and nephews, you know, and all that stuff was really hurtful, you know, and the fact is, you know, I'd kick off about that stuff. I'd kick off, no one trust me. But the fact is, I was always sat there waiting for him to go so I could rob someone, you know, or nick something from the house, or steal my nieces and nephews' toys to sell, or something like that. So, you know, but I played the victim massively, and, you know, and I've done some horrible stuff. I remember, and the lies, it'd be mental. I remember sat at home once, and there was me and my mum in the house. She went in the kitchen, I dipped her bag, took 40 quid out of the purse, put it in my pocket, and then just kind of stared about for a little bit. And just before I went, she went in her purse, said, there's 40 quid gone out of my purse, Anthony. So I said, what are you fucking blaming me for? And started kicking right off. And she went, Anthony, there's only me and you in the house. So I said, you're always fucking blaming me for everything, fucker. Stormed out of the house. But, like, I remember now, like, as I'm walking away thinking, fucking hell. Even though, you know, I've got away with that, I'm on my own, I'm having this conversation with myself that, fucking hell, she blames me for everything. Insanity was mental. I'm on my own, you know, and it's like, I'm fucking, it was mental, you know, the stuff that I'd done. And then when I went away and I was with myself, that I believed everybody fucking was wrong in me, you know, and it was like I had this relationship with myself. I don't know, it was mad anyway, but, you know, situations like that was kind of a daily part of my life, you know, and then just feeling shit. But as soon as I got the drugs, you know, and I had a bit of drugs in me, then everything was going to be different. Tomorrow was going to be different. I'm going to change. I'm going to, you know, my ideas was kind of, like, I was gonna leave Leeds where I was brought up. I'm gonna travel the world. I was gonna make some money, come back in a Range Rover, buy my mum a house, all that, you know. So I left Leeds at 21 to travel the world. I think I got as far as Bognor Regis, you know. And it was like, but you know, it's that kind of that initial thinking to myself, you know, all these ideas, and they never came to anything. You know, it was always like just this big fantasy of what my life could be like and would be like, but I didn't know what I suffered with, you know, throughout the time of my addiction and trying to, you know, a lot of my addiction as well. I'm not one of these that loved using. I didn't love using. All my using, I was trying to get clean, you know, from when I got a physical habit, I was trying to get clean. I didn't want a physical habit. I remember using heroin, sat in the car, listening to Happy Monday, Stone Roses, thinking it was all cool, sat in a car park with the older lads, and then just like loving it after a drink and stuff like that, to a point where I started thinking, I'm going to get physically addicted, and then stopping for a little bit, but then becoming physically addicted and being shit scared and just wanting to not be addicted, not be physically addicted. And so I spent years and years trying to get clean, you know, like, and clean to me was not using Class A drugs, you know. Clean to me was going to work Monday to Friday and going on the piss Friday to Sunday, you know. That was my normality. And I tried that many times, but it always brought me back to my knees, you know. I remember, like, I went worked in Butlins, you know. I went and done a rattle in Butlins, fucking working in Burger King, mental. And I'd done this rattle, but, like, drinking every day, you know, like drinking. And that, it was like all these people were coming to Butlins drinking for a week, getting off their heads, getting pissed. And I was doing that. They'd go, the next lot would come. So my reality that everyone just got pissed every day. And so I thought, sweet, this is my, you know. And before I knew it, you know, I think I'm a god because I'm fucking taking advantage of loads of vulnerable single mothers and that, thinking I'm a stud and all that lot, you know, fucking buying into that laddish behaviour, you know, nicking money out of the till, buying rock parts to go to work with, you know, thinking I'm a gangster, you know what I mean? It was just fucking insanity. And so the insanity never left me, you know what I mean? I always thought I was something or played a role to be whatever I thought everybody would want me to be, and you know, and it was painful, really, really painful, and I ended up going, you know, in and out, like I say. So I'd go from not using heroin to drinking heavily on alcohol, you know, and then ended up in this treatment centre as a result of living on the street, in and out of prison, you know, like real, you know, homelessness, injecting into, but all that, you know, I used to that point, you know, and I'm not saying you have to have used to that point, but that's my story, you know, and I ended up, luckily, through getting arrested and interventions worker coming in at the prison, she ended up getting me into treatment, and I went to this absolutely mental treatment centre for 18 months. Who it wasn't a 12-step, it was a CBT one, and you know, and I'll always be grateful for it, but I've got a little bit of a resentment looking back, because it never kind of ever dealt with the issue of the disease of addiction. It just told me I was a bit of a cunt, I behaved really wrong, and I needed to change the way I behaved, stop being a victim, stop blaming everyone. And you know that step four stuff, like that you have to do, but there was no other love around it, really. You know, there was no support of that I'm powerless, that my thinking's insane, that I need a higher power. It was all just straight after 2 weeks safety net, where someone followed you about everywhere you went. You know, it was like, bang, straight into a step four, you know, and you're like, ah, fucking hell. I'm sat in groups, people screaming at me. So I'm just getting angry, screaming back at them, and we're all telling each other how shit we are. And then I've ended up in a blue pair of overalls for 2 weeks, not allowed to talk to anyone, not allowed to look at anyone, not allowed to smile, not allowed to read anything, no eat, no sweets, no anything, you know, anything that had give me a little feeling of happiness, they took away from me. You know, if I had to do a job, and I'd have to mow the lawn, and like, they'd stop me three quarters of the way through and take me off it and give it to someone else to finish, so I didn't get no job satisfaction. And it was like, fucking insane. It was absolutely insane. But In that, what they say is, you know, you got to sit with yourself and not be trying to fix your feelings and all. But they didn't have anything, you know. And to be fair, I got a lot of stuff from looking at myself, but it wasn't done in a loving way like it has been done in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And anyway, so I'm in this treatment centre for 18 months. But they told me at the end, like throughout it, people saying, but you know, your story, you're an alcoholic. No, I'm not. I'm not a fucking alcoholic. I'm not. And denied it all the way through. So at the end, they said, right, when you go out, you can have 2 pints. Have 2 pints and no more, yeah? You can't, you know. And I never once went out and had 2 pints, you know. I did go out and tell them I had 2 pints, but I'd come back. But straight away, as a result of that, I'm straight back into defects of dishonesty, manipulation, you know, and all that lot. Not knowing what I was doing, I'm just thinking, oh, it's all right, I'm not using heroin, you know. And anyway, so inevitably, I come out of there, and all the outside stuff was good. We was with a group of lads. There was about 15, 20 of us all come out at the same time. And we was in the pub, all on the pace, playing pool. And we were something, like, looking back at it now, like, we were something special. We was like this group of lads who, you know, had been about, who was a bit laddish, but we was all, like, talking about feelings and that, you know, like, playing pool in the pub, pissed, and, like, we got some attention, I'm telling you. Some women thought we were great, you know. I was, like, there was, like, little booths. I was sat counselling girls, telling them what they needed to do about the boyfriend and all that, like, you know, all these words, and they thought, wow, and, you know, but again, and it all sounded great, but I was just straight into them defects again, you know, just trying to get what I can get out of someone else, you know. I'll never, just, what can I get, you know, and, not knowing about this disease and then coming to Narcotics Anonymous anyway, like loads of things happened after that, but coming to NA as a result of doing another treatment centre, CBT, and just knowing something needed to be different. I was really scared. I come out of there and I started to go to meetings, and I just went into this meeting again, like I still had the attitude, you know, that was 2 years of treatment I'd done, and I'd still walking into meetings with a Stone Island jacket on thinking I were a bit of a lad, you know, not like accepting that I was broken and I was fucked, because I thought if I accept that I'm broken and that I need help, then I'm weak, I'm vulnerable, and you know, people just disown me because the world I came from, that's what happened, you know. And but I went into these meetings, so trying to hold this thought, and it wasn't working, you know. People just kept saying, just keep coming back. You know, I was trying to impress people with, yeah, I've done this, and I know this lad, and they just kept saying, keep coming back. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, you know, and like my kind of, you know, my relationship skills weren't working on that level, you know, and they just kept loving me, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming to meetings, listening to people talk about, you know, about the stuff that I never thought I'd be able to talk about, you know, like about how I was scared and vulnerable, you know, like I'd been in prisons and I heard big lads saying I've done fucking 10 years and I was scared and I'd cry in myself. And I kind of thought, you know, I'd done that stuff, but I never thought anybody else did. You know, I thought, because no one had ever talked about that in jail. No one said, get up next day and say, oh yeah, I was crying in myself last night, you know. No one would say that to me, you know, like it was just like, yeah, all hard and all that lot. And I was coming in and that kind of started to drop off of me, that attitude that I had to be something and be hard started to drop off, and I started to be able to show my sensitive side, show who I really was, show that I was vulnerable, because I'm just and I still am, you know, a lost little soul trying to find my way in this world, and it's scary, it's hard at times, but I tell you what, it's not, you know, I'm not on my own anymore, and that's what I was. You know, I'm no different. That I believe that spirit of me and that soul inside me is still the same. I'm still scared, I'm still shit scared, still don't understand why it's all fucking shit and that, but I've got NA, you know, to support me through and to talk to people about it. And you know, I wasn't really guided that well in life because my parents didn't know how to. That's not their fault. I'm not a victim of that. That's just all they had, you know, and it was difficult, you know, but coming here and doing some step work and starting to take responsibility for me, and then having some faith, you know, I've got loads and loads of faith. Loads of things have happened to me over the last 2 years. I've only got a couple of minutes left, but kind of two and a half years ago, I got into a relationship straight out of treatment, a 7-year relationship, toxic, mental, you know, went through every emotion you can. Couldn't get out of it because I just wanted her to like me, you know, and just felt shit. Ended up, best thing that happened, you know, the relationship ended. And I was stuck in Portsmouth in this little shitty town, which, you know, it was for me at the time, it was this little shit, brilliant recovery, but I'm there, I'm like more of a city, like, I'm in this town, broken, you know what I mean, just thinking, what's the point in life? And then went to a convention in Portugal, spoke to this one lad who told me he'd just gone and done this course and that he passed it and it was difficult, and I thought, what am I doing? You know, I can do anything I want to do now, you know, I've no ties to anywhere, I can do anything I want to do. And then I just decided to come to London, you know, my friends said, just come, and I'm like, yeah, it's all right you saying that, but I need a job and somewhere to live, and they said, just come, everything will be all right, and I'm like, fuck off. But it was getting to the point where, like, I knew I needed to go, but what was stopping me was trying to get a job on a flat, so I just went into work one day, handed my notice in, told the lad where I live that I won't live in there anymore, and then that night I thought, what am I fucking doing, what am I doing, you know. It was the first time I'd felt secure anywhere. But anyway, come to London before I'd even like came to London, I had somewhere to live and a job, you know. I'd got an email that from a director of a company that said, can you work with us, you know, my mate, they said, got this flat you can stay in. And as a result of that, I've come to London, I've ended up qualifying as a gas engineer, I've ended up, you know, fucking got a life beyond my wildest dream. I've just been laid off three or four weeks ago to my first gas job, but I don't fear it at all, you know. I see it as now, the reason why I've lost that job is because of something else for me, you know, and it's the first real time that something big in my life's happened that I thought, this is for a reason, as opposed to why, and what can I do to change it? You know, I'm just getting up every day and things are presenting themselves and I feel better than I've ever felt. And it's as a result, I'm going to say I don't take any credit for it, but I do because I turned up, but I only turned up and followed this way of life. And as a result, I've got a better life than I've ever had. And, you know, and the saying, the best is yet to come, I really believe that because it just keeps getting better, you know, every year. So, yeah, I'm really grateful and I'll leave it there. Thanks. Thank you.